Brian Noonan, 720 WGN. If you are a fan of the Chronicles of Narnia, then you are a fan of the work of C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis, of course, known for more than the Chronicles of Narnia, but that is one of his big works. A show about C.S. Lewis called An Evening with C.S. Lewis opened last night at the Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower Theater. It's a Broadway and Chicago production. It runs through November 3rd. The man who not only wrote the show, but who portrays C.S. Lewis, David Payne, joins me now on WGN. David, thank you for staying up after the show tonight. Welcome. We're glad you're here.
Oh, nice to be there.
So, as I was reading up about you, you have a fascinating background, but let's start with the basic. How did you become fascinated by C.S. Lewis? What was it about? What was it about his writings? What was it about the man that drew you to him?
Well, I think like a lot of people, I read the Narnia books when I was younger, and I read the Screwtape Letters when I was 17, and read different books of his throughout the years. My real fascination came when I had to be in Nashville on a project, and it was a 2-year project, and when while I was there, I saw a little display ad for an audition by a theater company that did their shows in downtown Nashville. And it was for Shadowlands, and Shadowlands is a stage play about C.S. Lewis and how he met his wife and American life. That's a great story. But it said auditions for Shadowlands, British accent to help. I thought, well, I've got a British accent. I'd never been on the stage before, but I did have a British accent. I've had it for a long time. So I called the number, and they said I could come down. And I went down hoping to get a small part and ended up winning the lead role.
That is what was amazing to me, because there's actors who've spent their whole life training. And you were not an actor. You were an engineer by trade. You had also you had also played in a Christian rock band. And now you go in for your very first audition, and you nail the lead. And this is this playhouse that you were in Nashville is a well-regarded place. This wasn't, you know, some kids putting on a show in a barn. This was a big deal.
Yeah, it was indeed. It is, and we've had some good audiences so far. And really, from winning that lead role really set me on a course to actually study Lewis a lot more. And as a result of that study, reading biographies, his own writings, of course, and many other things, that's when I came up with the story of with the show An Evening with C.S. Lewis.
So give us an encapsulation. This all happens at a certain period in Lewis's life at his home, correct?
It does. It happens near the end of his life. Actually, he's recently had a heart attack. And it's the period between that heart attack and when he died. And there's a group of American writers who are visiting Oxford, and they managed to be able to get to see Lewis. And so they meet with him in his sort of his living room, as it were. And Lewis, it's a sort of a fireside chat. Lewis, they want to hear Lewis talk about people and events that shaped his life, and so he sort of chats away, very informal. It's not a lecture. It's full of humor, because Lewis was a great humorist. We read about it, or the audience will hear about how Lewis nearly didn't write the Narnia books. They'll hear about his friendship with J.R.R. Tolkien, and how without Lewis, The Lord of the Rings may never have been published.
Really?
And they'll hear about, yes, absolutely true. And they'll hear about how Lewis met this woman, this American woman, after she had written to him and she was visiting England, and how eventually she turned his life upside down. She was a very intelligent lady. She was a writer herself. And when they first met, it was very much a meeting of the minds, really, because she was able to debate Lewis on his own level. In fact, she was as good a debater as he ever found in any man. And so it was a meeting of the minds, but eventually became a meeting of the heart, and they married. And then, of course, the sadness is she contracted bone cancer, and we watched Lewis go through a little bit of the agony of what happens after the one you love dies and that sort of thing.
That's a, it sounds like a fascinating play, and it also fascinated me because there you and C.S. Lewis do share a number of similarities. One, unfortunately, the tragedy that you just mentioned about his wife and the unfortunate loss of your wife, but there are other things that you have in common with him, right?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, I don't know whether he'd be happy about that, but we, for instance, you know, he had a strong Christian faith. I also have the same. I'm not playing Lewis just so that I can talk about his Christian faith. You can't do a play without Lewis without referring to it, because that was one of the major things in his life. So a play without about Lewis and it didn't mention his approach to Christianity would be a play that's not right. I have that, but I'm not a great writer as he was a great writer. I enjoy a conversation, and he enjoyed conversation. So there are some similarities. Of course, I'm human. He was human.
Well, that's a, yeah, that, we'll go with that one. Is there a challenge of what are the unique challenges, I guess I should ask, of doing a one-man show as opposed to being part of an ensemble? You know, when you get into your first show in Nashville, there's the rest of a cast you can work off of. Now it's just you up there. What do you find rewarding about that, and what is the most unique challenge about doing that?
Well, the unique challenge is making sure the audience is with you for the whole of the show. You don't want to lose them at any point. You want them to be totally absorbed. I was after the show tonight, I was talking to actually a young man who was very enthusiastic. He'd been to the show, and he said, "When I thought you were going to stop, I thought, oh, I hope he's not stopping. I want him to go on." And that's really it. You want people to absolutely be absorbed, and if they're not, as an actor, you will find that very disconcerting. So I think the only reason I'm still doing the show is because the audience seems to love it and seems to want it. And people say to me after the show very often, I feel as though I've been with C.S. Lewis. Some people said to me, I feel as though you were talking only to me. And that's because it's really an intimate chat. It's not a lecture. Yeah. And so I'm very happy about that. If you ask me what the challenge is I would say to anybody doing a one-person show, you better be good. If you're not, you're in trouble.
Does it? And it would also, as an actor, force you to constantly be in the moment. You don't get a chance to take a moment off when, if another actor is taking control of the scene and maybe you're blending a little more into the background. Maybe you can have a lapse for a moment. You're not supposed to, but you could. In a one-person show, it's all you all the time.
Oh yes, you can't afford to take a little break and tell the audience, "Look, give me a minute or so while I'm freezer." You can't do that. Obviously, when you're with an ensemble, that is obviously nice. That is good. But when you're on your own, you don't have to worry about somebody dropping a line or feeding you a bad line or the wrong line.
Right.
You are the one. And there are advantages and disadvantages. I think the thing for me is that there is never a time when I don't enjoy the show. And it's constantly changing, not so much in terms of content, just in terms of delivery. And every audience is different. So an audience will give you things on one night that another audience didn't the other night. And so that in itself becomes sort of enriching and keeps it alive and virile. So so many aspects to it. I would say this, if you can have a one-person show and it works, it is a very satisfying experience.
Well, there's the feeling of accomplishment, and it's all you. You've built this, you've performed this, and now you get to revel in it and watch the audience enjoy it. I'm speaking with David Payne. He's the creator and the star of An Evening with C.S. Lewis, which is playing now through November 3rd at the Broadway Playhouse at Watertower Place, a Broadway in Chicago production. How long did it take you to put together this show?
Well, there's... The short answer is that in writing the original material, probably 3 months.
Okay.
But then over the next 19 years, one has been crafting the show. You know, you get a craftsman who starts off as an apprentice, and he'll create something, and he'll have these basic skills. But 20 years later, his skills have developed so that it become natural and all that. So that's the same thing with a play when you work it for so long. But they say I directed the play, which I did, of course. But the best directors I have had are the audience. The audience will always tell you whether it works or whether
right.
it doesn't.
And so you have to be smart enough to listen to them.
The audience does that for you.
You've been doing this for so long, and you've been inside C.S. Lewis's mind. Is there anything that can still surprise you about C.S. Lewis, or what? And what also was the biggest surprise as you researched this and wrote the show and actually become him every night?
There's not a lot now that surprises me about Lewis. I sometimes come across something which I knew and maybe I'd forgotten. Which made me, oh yeah, I do remember that. Yes, that was Lewis. I think the surprise was really finding a man who was such a genuine man and very open and very honest, and not a man with pride. I think he was amused at his own fame. Both he and Tolkien were amused at their own fame. And never took it really seriously. So, that's charming to be able to play a man who you can admire for those reasons.
Yeah, he's a fascinating guy, and obviously the writing is what lends to his longevity. Is it the personality too, combined with that, as you were saying, that makes him. A character for the ages, somebody who, you know, kids are still reading his books today. We're still talking about him. You're still performing to audiences doing this. It's got to be the combination of the writing talents and everything else, right?
Well, the writing talents are supreme. Lewis has been dead for over 50 years, obviously. His writings is what keeps him alive. My job, I think, on the stage is to actually... reveal his personality and to reveal the man behind the books, what made him tick. And one of the things that made him tick, they used to say, you could not be in the room with C.S. Lewis because he was a man who loved humor and sometimes it was very boyish humor. I think the writings are supreme in keeping Lewis's writings will be read many years from now, as indeed will Tolkien's. I think my joy, I think, if I can bring that same joy to my audience, is that they will say, I feel as though I might know C.S. Lewis.
It sounds like a wonderful show, and it is a great venue for it, the Broadway Playhouse at Watertower Place. David Payne is here. He is... the creator and the star of An Evening with C.S. Lewis. It is playing now through November 3rd at the Broadway Playhouse, Watertower Place. You can go to BroadwayInChicago.com and get your tickets. You have piqued my interest. I know you can't tell us because it would spoil it. I want to know why the Chronicles of Narnia almost weren't published and what he did to make Tolkien publish his books as well. It has been a real pleasure to speak with you, David. Have a great run here in Chicago. Break many legs and, It's been great. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Very much enjoyed it. Thanks so much.
Take care. That's David Payne. Again, he is the creator and star of An Evening with C.S. Lewis. It is playing now through November 3rd at the Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower Place. A great venue, a nice intimate theater for an intimate show, An Evening with C.S. Lewis. You can get your tickets at BroadwayInChicago.com. Oh, so much more. So now I need to know. I got to go. I wasn't able to go Tuesday to opening night because I had another engagement because, Michael, as you know, my social calendar, full.
It's slammed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that makes me laugh. You know what doesn't make me laugh? Taking a break from you. But I must.